That's the bridge going to the Mile House. That's Sotwell Lane. There was a big gravel pit there. Well, we presume it was a gravel pit, as the golfers used to hit their balls over. That's the lodge.
That's the lodge. That's where that gateway is then, that you see
that's
in
the
Cotmill Lane.
But I think it's been altered a lot since we were there. I think someone's bought it and they've altered it all. I've got the picture of the gate. Then you come along and that was Sotwell House, which is a hotel now.
It was a private house
when we were there. And there's Brown's Farm. And then you go round to the mill. There were the sheds. And the mill was here on the other side of the road, and a bridge there with the river, and that led up to the town. Mr. Knight, the gardener, lived there with the chauffeur of the house.
Is this Cotmill Lane?
Yes, it's Cotmill Lane. This is the river down here, they were the watercress beds. And then coming up here, that's Ramsbury Roadway and Riverside Road, which used to be called Longmire Road in those days.
Brown's Farm. What sort of farm? What did they have?
Animals. Dad was the cowman, and there was a gentleman called Miles, and he was a horseman. And his son was in the Hearts Advertiser some years ago because he was the last horse and cart man to drive through the town. Okay. Freddie, his name was. I'm not sure what year it was, it's a long, long time ago. But I imagine if there's anyone still alive, I looked at these pictures and there's no one alive there unless Vincent Knight, who was the gardener's youngest son, he puts an obituary in the paper every year for his wife, and there was one in this year, so he must still
be alive.
I don't know what state he'd be in. And whether the boy of Miles is, I don't. But all my family are dead. I'm the only oldie left. That was Brown's Farm.
So they had cows. Did they have any corn and wheat?
Oh, yes, it was a proper
farm.
Yes. When they built the arterial road, there was another farm here called Hedges Farm.
Oh,
that's still there. And it was cut in half with the road going through. When we lived in the lodge, there was no light or heating or anything. We had oil lamps and no loo or anything except one outside, and it had no chain or anything. And my poor father had to go from here, and there was a spinney there.
Yes.
Now there was a brick built gadget there, and everybody said it was either a tunnel going to the abbey or the nunnery. My father said it wasn't, it was just a cesspit. But it was a brick building covering this big hole. Well, my poor father had to carry the buckets from the toilet into the spinney and dump the rubbish
into the cesspit.
When I think of the way we lived, they couldn't believe it. I mean, my brother was only 5 and we had to walk all this way across the golf course to Alma Road School, and it was a very good school actually. The people from Knapsbury, which was Knapsbury Lane here, they had to walk from Knapsbury, and we used to meet a little family of them here on the corner, and then all walk together to school. But I mean, they walked all that
way,
you see. Sometime after we'd been there, Mr. Brown wanted my mother to do the milk. You know how they sterilise it or whatever they do with it, and this room was cold and damp, and he wanted her to stay there and work, and she'd got 3 young children to get ready for school, so it was in the morning. She just could not cope. So they had a row, my dad and Mr. Brown, over it, and he got the sack. Well, because the house went with the job, so we were homeless really, and he tried St. Albans, he couldn't get anything here. Some relations in Leytonstone took us in, my uncle, and we were there for over a year. And then Mr. Knight, whom we were very friendly with, the gardeners, he offered my dad a job back in the garden. And Dad worked at Sotwell in the gardens for quite a long time. And he lodged down here with a chap who worked at the mill. And we lived in London, and he came up just at the weekend, or if he was off, you know, it wasn't very often in those days.
Yes.
And then he was offered this job, and at that time, they were building the houses in Best Avenue and Wiltshire Avenue.
1932 that was.
Yes. Well, then Dad decided that because my 2 sisters had then left school and were working, that he could afford the rent for a house in Vesta Lodge. It was £25 a week.
So what number did you live at?
9. Lady Barnett and Major Barnett lived in the house. Right. She was always getting pulled over for speeding the car. Yes, although they had a chauffeur, she liked to do it herself, you know, and always getting into trouble with the police over the driving. And the son, Cedric, we always remember him because he used to come in this field opposite where we lived with a boomerang. And he used to throw the boomerang. Whether it came back to him, I don't know.
Was the golf course there then? Was it there when you were small?
Yes.
It was there?
Yes, because they used to have really good tournaments there. Because have you heard of Abe Mitchell, the golfer? Well, he was a noted, and they have a cup, I think, in memory of him now, the golfers. And I think the course is still there because my niece played there one day. But they used to hit the ball over the road and over this great big pit here. I remember that pit. Because when we came home from school, I used to run past it in case there's anybody in there, you know. And when we were at the lodge, my brother and sister got to sell scarlet fever. And, of course, they had to go to the Sisters' Hospital in those days, which is our hospital down here. They called it the Sisters' Hospital then, because apparently a man's two daughters had died in there and he left this hospital to the city. Anyway, before they came out, we had to have the whole house fumigated. You know, they stripped down the doors and everything, and it was agony. But I never caught it. It was funny, because I was the weakest one in the family, really, and yet I'm still here. I can remember my father rubbing my legs, sitting on the kitchen table before I went to school, when we lived in Cambridge, and rubbing my legs with white horse liniment that he got from the farm. Growing pains, they called it in those days. But I had rheumatism ever since.
So any other stories of when you were young?
We had a radio that my uncle built, and when we were in the lodge, there were huge oak trees in the front garden, and he put the aerial on the oak tree, and my mother was absolutely horrified because she said if lightning struck it would, you know, so he had to move it to an inside aerial, and it went all round the room. And my father had to walk up to London Road to get the accumulators and the batteries, you know, when they needed them. And how he did it, I do not know, but he used to have to cart them all the way.
They were very big in those days, I suppose. Well,
they were, yes. But that was our first radio, and as I say, it was relatives that helped us. You know, they bought us our first gramophone, which was a wind-up. We had a good life, really. Yeah. Although we had nothing, we were looked after by relatives, and they all used to come down and stay. I don't know how my mother coped, but she did. Well, they had to, didn't they? There was nothing else for them to do. But when we lived at the lodge and they had these golfing tournaments, very often when the golfers came by on a hot day, they wanted water, they wanted a drink. So we used to give them the water. And one of them suggested, why don't we open a little shop and sell lemonade and everything? Because you wouldn't have been allowed to do it in those days.
Oh, really?
Because the farmer or the Major Barnett would have, you know, stepped in and said, no, you can't do that. Because laws were very strict in those days. You couldn't just, you know, if you were a minion, you were a minion,
yeah,
you know.
You couldn't
use your initiative and do things like they do today.
No.